For our scripture reading, let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's found on page 1148. We're also going to be reading from Lord's Day 10, which is going to set the structure or the outline for our sermon this morning as well. So if you want to turn in the back of your songbooks, in the back of our red Trinity songbooks, to Lord's Day 10, that's found on page 876. But first, let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 down to verse 18, just those two verses there. 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's particularly that last verse there, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's now turn in the back of our songbooks if you'd like to follow along in Lord's Day 10. Again, that's page 876. Now, the Catechism is given as a faithful summary of what the Scripture teaches concerning, particularly today, the providence of God. So what does the Scripture teach? What does the Bible teach us concerning the providence of God? This Lord's Day 10, question answer 27, what do you understand by the providence of God? And the answer is that providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Then the next question, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? And the answer is that we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of day are you having? Do you feel like giving thanks today? It may be that as we go to church this morning, we're able to force a smile on our face. I know for a fact that not everyone here is having a wonderful year. I want to spend some time meditating on one of the doctrines that give us reason to rejoice, regardless of what kind of day, what kind of month, or what kind of year you might be having. The fact is, as the congregation of Christ, there are some in our midst who are having years of plenty, years of health, of prosperity, blessing of children. But there are others who are having a year of want, a year of hardship, a year touched by death. And preaching a sermon on Thanksgiving Day needs to be sensitive to the fact that not everybody has the same reasons for giving thanks. Some people have had a very difficult year. So how are we to approach Thanksgiving? How do we approach this day set apart for Thanksgiving, for praise to God, acknowledging this diversity, this variety which we face as a congregation? The church is made up of different parts, many members in various stages of life and situations. So in order to wrap our minds around this concept of giving thanks in all things, at all times, in all circumstances, we bring the doctrine of God's providence to the forefront to remind us that no matter what stage of life you are in, we always have a reason to rejoice. We can always give thanks that we serve a God who is everywhere present at all times. We can serve a God who is, as Romans 8 says, working all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, for God's glory and for our good. God works all things, whether that be war, famine, rain, snow, prosperity, need, sickness, health, leaf, blade, fruitful or lean, all things for our good and His glory. So the title of our sermon this morning is that the knowledge of God's providence, or knowledge of God's presence and power, helps us. It helps us in the following three sections, following three categories. Knowledge of God's providence helps us in our trials. Knowledge of God's providence helps us in our prosperity. And knowledge of God's providence helps us as we consider our future. Our text is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, where we literally read this: "Give thanks in all things, for that is God's will for you." Do you want to know what God's will is, what His desire for you is today, this Thanksgiving Day, and for the rest of your life, regardless of what comes, is to give thanks in all things. Then our first point, then, we find that the knowledge of God's presence, power, His providence, encourages us to give thanks even in times of sorrow, misery, and trial. Give thanks in situations and circumstances and times of trial, suffering, and pain. Give thanks in years of sickness, friction, conflict. Give thanks? Yes. Yes, we give thanks because we are not victims. We are children. We are dearly loved children in the hands of a loving Father. The Catechism begins by telling us that we can accept God's providence, and we'll learn to be patient when things go against us, that we can be thankful even in difficult times because we are still in the Father's hands. We are still the recipient of the Father's love, and we can be patient because we know where we are headed and we know what the future holds. We have confidence and we have hope, knowing that nothing is happening to us by chance. There's no accident taking place here. We are governed. In fact, all things are governed by the Father's hand. The reason the Catechism starts with adversity is because adversity is a common aspect to all of our lives at different times, and sometimes more, sometimes less. And I would add, particularly as we look at what's happened over the past 2 years in our country, the myth of man's control and humanity's basic goodness has been shattered, and that lie has been put on display. The myth has been unraveled. Man is not in control, and mankind is not good. The misery of man is universal. We have something in which our lives we're all struggling with. There's always something going on in our lives that are testing and trial. John 16 says, "In this life you will face struggles." We walk by faith and not by sight. We may never fully understand why these things come to us, why these things are happening to us. We look through the glass dimly, yet one day we will be able to see clearly, as we'll be fully known. Yet we can rest on that firm foundation that God does not make mistakes, that He is in control. In this past year, some have buried loved ones. Others have faced or are facing health crisis. Our bodies are affected by sin, and we live in this veil of tears. God's word meets us where we are and comforts us with this truth: "You are my child. You are in my hand. I am working for your good." Now, when the Catechism here speaks of patience in times of trial, it's not speaking of simply submitting to a sovereign superior force. The church is sometimes tempted to just throw up their hands, que sera, sera, what will be, what will be. I can't change anything, so why bother? Patience here is an active work. It's not just saying it's going to happen and doesn't matter. Patience is an active work of faith. Christian patience looks to the Father's hand and relies and trusts the Father's good design. Patience bears the burden of the trial with a heart of faith, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus Christ. We trust that God has my good in mind. And Joseph and Job both learned this lesson through lives of trials. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, yet I will bless the name of the Lord. Sometimes we're living in times when things are being taken away. Or even as Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Patience is the ability to rejoice in trials because God is at work. And He's doing something. He's doing something in your life. Scripture says that suffering produces character, endurance, and hope. And that hope does not disappoint. It doesn't leave us empty. It doesn't leave us bankrupt. Trials are producing something, something good. God has a good end, a good design for me and for my life. So as we go through trials, and if you are going through a trial in your life right now, we can be reminded, we can be encouraged. We need to remind ourselves, to preach to ourselves, if you will, I am God's child. And I can give thanks that my identity, my new identity as an adopted child of God, the recipient of God's grace, receiving the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come, justification is my recipient, my blessing, my hand that I hold in my arms. These things cannot be taken away. So do you face financial hardships? Do you face physical hardships? Is God teaching you about the fragility of life, reminding you that your life is but a vapor and a passing mist so that you learn the heart of wisdom? Is conflict in your life and the presence of enemies teaching you to love your enemies? To seek to live at peace with all men? We may not always know why God sends the things that He does, but a believer in patience knows that whatever happens to me is part of God's sovereign plan for my good. So a Christian learns to rejoice in the providence of God even in times of trials. When our passage says, give thanks in all circumstances, it should be easy to give thanks when times are well. But giving thanks in all circumstances includes times of trials. Not just when we feel like it. Not just when we have a wonderful day, wonderful month, or wonderful year. So there are days, there are times when we go through trials and tribulations. And we learn to give thanks even then. But praise God, there are also times of plenty. There are times when God's providence smiles upon Him. Not just times of tears, not just passing through the valley of the shadow of death, but there are times when our cup overflows. What then? Well, when we have times of blessing, God's kindness, His goodness is shown to us, we also learn to give thanks. Giving thanks acknowledges that we do not deserve these gifts. We receive them from a hand of a gracious God. We so often forget that these blessings that the Lord puts in our hands are blessings that we do not receive. What do we have that has not been given to us? Sometimes we often forget or we neglect to give thanks when God has been particularly kind to us. Think of what happened when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. That's in Luke 17. Remember that story, children? There were 10 lepers and Jesus Christ healed them all. Do you remember how many came back to give thanks? How many returned to acknowledge the fount and source of their healing and restoration? It was just one. Have you ever been struck by the fact that we need a day set aside for Thanksgiving? Have you ever been struck by the fact that we need this day at all? Shouldn't it be that as God's people, every day is a Thanksgiving day? That we need to take a day set aside to be reminded of our calling, to be thankful, especially when we remember what the Lord has done for us. And since we are talking about Thanksgiving, what does that mean to give thanks? Well, giving thanks is much more than simply saying thank you. And it is much broader than acknowledging the superficial, surface, physical things. It is a whole lot more. Giving thanks, living a life of thanks, is a whole lot more than we tend to think. Giving thanks is both an act of faith and an act of obedience. Remember that the Catechism, which we read a few minutes ago, has three sections. And the third section of the Catechism is man's thankfulness or gratitude, how we respond to all that God has given to us, to all these blessings. And as you look at the third section of the Catechism, you will find that the lion's share of that Catechism, that third section, includes the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that when you obey God's commands, you are telling, you are showing God that you are thankful? And when you say prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving, you are telling God that you are thankful. Indeed, prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. So thankfulness is not just a few moments set aside on one day. Thankfulness is a lifetime of sanctification. When we learn that we are not our own, we've been purchased body and soul, I'm not living for myself, my life is not about me, and my law, my desire, doing what is right in my own eyes, is the farthest thing from my desire. Today, as Thanksgiving Day, there is a radical difference between true, godly, faith-filled thanksgiving and the thanksgiving that we find in the world. Thanksgiving, proper thanksgiving, is a full-bodied life that acknowledges the source of thanksgiving, the one to whom we give our thanks and praise. Thanksgiving is when the believer acknowledges the Father as the one who has given all these blessings, seeing them as purchased for us in Jesus Christ. So we as Christians are called to be thankful. Thankful, as our catechism says, when times go well. Well, what does this mean when times go well or times of prosperity? Well, living here in North America, we have experienced a unique situation in the past 2 years when times of prosperity was touched, was challenged. But who here in this past year was ever in danger of not having clothing, food, or a shelter? Many families in our church, and I suspect my own family in a few years, will have more cars than we have places to park them. Here in our church, we have some families that have been so richly blessed with children, they have more children than they have bedrooms, or more clothes than can fit in the closet. Are these not blessings from the Lord's hand? Truly our cup overflows. And it may be that this Christmas season we have to wait a little bit longer to receive the things that we order online, but do we not see these and whatever they receive, whenever we receive, as blessings from His hand? Giving thanks acknowledges that everything we have, every breath that we breathe, every ability that we have received is a gift from God's hand. Do you have abilities? Do you have gifts? Do you have talents that the Lord has given to you? These too are gifts from His hand, but not just physical things. Think of the spiritual blessings that we have. How many people here don't have more Bibles in their home than they do people to read those Bibles? How many people here do not have the privilege of listening online and the freedom to go to church twice every week to listen to the Word of the Lord opened and explained without the fear of physical persecution? How many people here consistently remember to give thanks not only for daily bread, but living bread that gives eternal life? Not only our water, but living water that wells up to eternal life within. There are so many blessings, so many opportunities that we have every day to name those blessings, counting them one by one, being thankful in times of prosperity. Who here has not been touched by God's grace and filled with His blessings with the addition of children into their home? Praise God, our church family is growing. We see these little ones, and we are reminded of God's covenant promises made to us and to that next generation. Acknowledging God's blessings has a twofold purpose. First of all, we acknowledge how dependent we are. We are acknowledging God as the one who gives these blessings to us, but it also keeps us humble. It squashes the heart of pride that would think that we somehow deserve that which we have received. So if I were to ask you, have you grown spiritually in this past year? Has the Holy Spirit been producing fruit in your life? Has Jesus' comfort, has his word been applied to you? Then we, everyone here, should sing songs of thanks and praise. Well, now that we have been assured of both God's goodness and his presence in times of plenty and in times of want, the only unexplored path before us is that of our future. The great unknown and the unseen way that lies before us. What comfort do we as Christians, do we receive acknowledging the God of providence when we look to our future? How can we, in acknowledging the providence of God, give thanks even when we know the uncertainty of the future? The comfort that we receive and the comfort that moves us to give thanks is knowing that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can remove us from his hand. So even if you and I do not know what the future holds, whether it is times of plenty or times of want, times of sickness or times of health, we can know that whatever comes to us, whatever happens to us in the future, is something sent to us from a loving God. When we place the fact that God is in control, that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, that he's reigning and ruling over all, we can have good comfort and confidence in his design and plan. As I mentioned earlier, both Joseph and Job found peace in this truth. One who trusts in the Lord, as they look, as they consider, as they ponder the future, can know that they have a confidence in the God who controls everything. Nothing can snatch us out of his hands. All those who have the Father, who have been given into the hands of the Son for safekeeping, will be embraced, will be brought home, and will be brought safely into that fold. The future is a scary topic for many people, and especially today. This past year has filled us, humanity, and here in North America, with an acknowledgement of our own inability. The questions remain, continue to swirl. What will happen in the future? Will inflation come? Will the next election bring some order and reprieve? There's a great anxiety that is filling North America. But a Christian knows and confesses that creation is not only made, this world was not only made, but it is maintained, it is preserved, and its end has been ordained. This is an article of faith that calms our hearts, but also enables us to give thanks. As the psalmist confessed, if I make my bed in the depths or in the heights, you are there. There is such freedom to know that wherever we go, the Lord is with us. We saw this last week when we looked at the attributes or the characteristics of God, that he is all-powerful and everywhere present. We can have good confidence for the future because God will still be God tomorrow and the day after that, next year, until the end of our lives. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The world tries to stir up fear in the hearts of those who live in this world. If you watch the news, it's designed to fill your hearts with fear and anxiety and dread. There's always some catastrophe that is knocking on the door. The end of life, as we know it, seems to be close at hand. But the scripture says that kingdoms rise and fall. Yet there is a ruler, there is a God who rules over all. The response of the world is fear. The response of the church is faith. We can give thanks to God that the future is in His hand, a future that is secure, where His people will dwell with Him, dwelling safely in His arms. To conclude, knowledge of God's power and presence, the doctrine of God's providential care, is an essential part of thanksgiving. It's an essential part of thanksgiving because it frees us, it liberates us to give thanks in whatever situation you may be experiencing. Plenty or want, prosperity, poverty, sickness, or health. My God is in control, and I'm so firmly in His hand that nothing can happen to me, nothing can touch me, nothing can take me out of His hand. Peace for the present and confidence in the future. The future is secure, and I am in my Father's hand. So as you go throughout this day, and it may be your family's routine that you spend time giving thanks. We do that around our own table. Every person takes a few minutes and just, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Children, I'm giving you your answer. Are you thankful for the providence of God? That He is in control, that He remains sovereign. And His will, His sovereign will, is being done. Give thanks and remember that you are in the hands of an ever-present and all-powerful God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement and comfort of knowing that whatever is happening to us in our life, that these are not random events, but that you are in control and that you are working all for our good, for your glory. So may we on this Thanksgiving Day, even if we're in times of trial, or in times of prosperity and plenty, may we learn to give thanks to you in all circumstances, for that is your will for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.